If you have your Bible with you, or Bible on your phone, if you like to turn to the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, chapter 1. We're beginning a new series today in this wonderful little book of Nehemiah. And today we're going to be looking at chapter 1 and the vision that Nehemiah had of a work God was calling him to do. Nehemiah 1 and verse 1. This is the word of God. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, "Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down. Its gates have been burned with fire." When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, "O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant, and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man." I was cupbearer to the king. As we begin looking at Nehemiah, I want us to consider what it is to have a vision. When God puts a vision upon someone's heart. Scattered throughout history, of course, are stories of visionary leaders who made their mark and who inspired people to fulfill their potential. Just this week, I was reading about someone you maybe haven't heard of, Dr. Ludwig Gutmann, who was a German Jew who escaped from the Nazi regime in 1939 and settled in England. He was a gifted neurosurgeon. He was appointed to the Stoke Mandeville Hospital, which was caring for paraplegics. Many of those paraplegics had been injured in the war. When Gutmann arrived at the hospital, he was horrified by what he saw. He saw these men in their 20s and 30s, most of them horizontal, very heavily sedated, and no hope given to them. There was the expectation that they might live at most another 6 months before they would die. Gutmann had a vision of seeing these men able to have a fulfilling life again. Immediately, he cut their sedatives by half, which hurt them for a while. Then he got them to sit up in their beds, and he began to throw balls at them so that they would have to catch them before they hit their faces. Again, this was painful for a while. A fellow doctor came along to him and accused him of cruelty, but he persisted. The doctor said to him, "These are moribund cripples. Who do you think they are?" And Dr. Gutmann's reply came back, "They are the best of men." He got the men into the fresh air of the hospital garden to play games. He got the doctors into wheelchairs to play games with those who were the paraplegics. Paraplegics usually won because, of course, they're used to wheelchairs. And in 1948, he organized a competition for paraplegics to run alongside the Olympic Games. By 1968, the International Olympic Committee recognized the Paralympic Games officially. Today, 5,000 participants from 164 countries participate in the Paralympics because of one man's vision. He saw what could be done. There are many men and women of leadership in the Bible. Some names that you may think of immediately are Joseph, maybe, or Moses, maybe Esther, David, Daniel, any of the prophets. In the New Testament, we think of our Lord Jesus, we think of Peter, we think of the Apostle Paul. But I wonder how many of us would think of Nehemiah. And yet he was a visionary leader. There are no real miracles, no obvious big miracles in the book of Nehemiah. And yet he was greatly used of God. And as I hope we explore this book over the next weeks, God willing, we will learn many lessons of how to live lives that honor God, that we might get a vision of what God is calling us to do as individuals or even as a church because of Nehemiah. I've chosen this series of studies because I believe we're at a very challenging time in our world, obviously. It's also a challenging time for the church. Now, you may know that the Chinese word for crisis is made up of two words, danger and change point. There is danger in this corona crisis, but it can also be a change point for good and for new opportunities. We can succumb like the paraplegics initially did, who were told there is nothing we can do for you. Or we can rise to the challenge and maybe even new ways of doing and being church. I believe that while there is much we have learned under this crisis as a church, and I said that last week, some have had a good lockdown, some have not had a good lockdown. But for most of us, I believe that the lack of fellowship has produced gaps that have not been good. And people are beginning to struggle. And so as we tentatively start to have our church meeting again in the building, starting to get fellowship together in small groups and so on, I've chosen the theme of rebuilding for this series. As we discover how Nehemiah, through his visionary leadership, inspired the people of Jerusalem to clear the rubble, to see where the gaps were, and to start to rebuild together. And they completed the task in 52 days. To assess where the gaps might be in our lives, we need to be asking the Holy Spirit to speak to us. We need to be asking him, where is Satan gaining a foothold? Or where are we losing our passion and our ardor for Jesus Christ? Jesus promises us that he is building his church, and the gates of hell ultimately will not prevail. But there will be casualties along the way. And I don't want to see people in Highkirk being those casualties. Nehemiah had a vision. We're told in chapter 1 that he was cupbearer to the king in Persia. At that time, in 445 BC, it was King Artaxerxes. 140 years earlier, the Israelites had been taken into captivity by Babylon. Jerusalem had been sacked and destroyed. But then Babylon itself succumbed to the Persians. And under King Cyrus, Cyrus had allowed people to start to come back to Jerusalem. The book of Ezra, which is kind of twinned with Nehemiah, under Ezra, the people came back, they began to rebuild the temple, but the walls of the city were still vulnerable to attack. And so Nehemiah, when he hears in 445 BC, when he hears, what's the state of the walls? What's the state of the city of Jerusalem? He's told that Jerusalem is broken down. Its gates have been burned, verse 3. And so he has a vision of what could be and what should be. A vision often begins with the inability to accept things the way they are. And so Nehemiah refused to accept the way things were. Yes, he was many miles away. Yes, he was not a prophet or a priest or in any kind of role of leadership. He has a very important position, yes, as cupbearer to the king, but that actually was a difficulty. That was an obstacle because the cupbearer had this important job of tasting the wine so that if there was any poison in it, he would be poisoned and not the king. And so for the king to release him as the cupbearer to go to Jerusalem was going to be a big ask. There were so many insurmountable difficulties, but he had a vision of what could be and what should be. Jim Packer says, Nehemiah, through God, built walls, but God, through Nehemiah, built saints. Yes, physical walls would be built up, but people were also going to be built up spiritually. In verse 4, we're told that when he heard these things, he said, I sat down and wept. He felt it deeply. He didn't just have an opinion on the matter, he had a conviction. I said before, the difference between an opinion and a conviction is that you hold an opinion, but a conviction holds you. As we look at Nehemiah today and in days subsequent, we will be comparing the physical state of the walls of Jerusalem to the spiritual walls of our lives. I think it would be a bold person who could stand up and say the Church of Jesus Christ in the United Kingdom is in a strong and healthy condition. Yes, we are human beings who are not perfect, and the church is not perfect and never will be perfect, but there's a lot of gaps. Have we a vision of what could be? We recognize that the modern church lives in very difficult days. But rather than railing at the world, we need to look within at the church, at my own life, at your own life, to catch a vision of what could be. A church that is serious about living according to the teaching of Jesus. A church that is serious about loving our neighbors as ourselves. A church that is serious about being holy and conformed to the likeness of Jesus. A church that is serious and filled and anointed with the Holy Spirit, and we pray bold prayers and we see great answers. A church where we see people being saved regularly and welcomed into our buildings, whatever their issues, whatever their problems, whatever they have, but they're welcomed and we point them and show them, not rules and regulations, no, we show them the Lord Jesus Christ. And we introduce them to the greatest person who has ever lived and who is living by his Spirit today in each one of us. Have we a vision of a church that if we were not here, if say for weeks and months we weren't able to meet together as church in this building or other buildings, the local community would say, gosh, we miss them. They did so much good for us. We miss the church. Is that the vision that we have of our church? As people look at us, do they see the humility, the purity, the love, and the zeal for God that we saw in Jesus? In the words of 1 Peter 2, are we being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ? Does our world see a vision of God on fire in us and through us? Or do they see a church broken down, confused, and as sinful as the world? Charles Swindoll says, quite frankly, I think the walls of our lives often lie in ruins through neglect. The leader who brings us to rebuild the walls is the Holy Spirit, and it is he who continues the work of reconstruction inside us. He tries his best to bring to our attention the condition of our walls. But sometimes we don't hear what he's saying. We're not hard of hearing. We simply don't listen. Maybe there are huge gaps in the walls and we haven't seen them yet. I went to the dentist this week as I'd lost a bit of filling. It seemed to be holding on okay, but as the dentist poked at that filling, it got loose and it just came out. She didn't even have to drill because that would have been another appointment. It just popped out. It was loose. It was shaky. And sometimes it's not until there's the Holy Spirit or God puts us into a place of temptation or testing, begins to prod us and push us a bit, that we don't see that there's a gap there. There's a bit of loose stone or a bit of loose mortar. There's something wrong. The Bible talks in the Song of Songs about the little foxes getting into marriages and causing mayhem. Jesus and Paul talked about the wolves that get in with their false teaching and cause chaos in the church. But they get in through the gaps, they get in through the walls that are broken down. May God, by His Spirit, through this series, start to niggle at us, prod us, show us where the wall is not strong in our lives. May we grow in love for the gospel and love for people. In closing, Nehemiah prayed. The book of Nehemiah contains about 9 prayers. He was a great man of prayer. You know, in our COVID crisis over the last few months, and indeed for a little bit, certainly time in the future, maybe up until October, November, really the only thing that we're doing as churches is worshiping on a Sunday, praying in prayer meetings, and giving out food to those who need it through Bob's store. If you like, it's really church essential. That's really what we've been shrunk down to. And maybe that's no bad thing. Those are the essentials: worshiping God, praying, helping the community. It's a good place to build from. May God speak to us through this time. May He shake us up, stir us, prod us, poke us a bit as to what we're doing, why we're doing it, to recreate and renew a vision, that the vision will sharpen. Nehemiah was willing to be part of making the vision a reality. I confess to you that sometimes I pray prayers and I know God is saying to me, Norman, you're actually the answer to the prayer. All you need to do is just do it. Stop praying about it, just do it. You ever pray prayers like that and you've got this wee niggle and I'm praying this, but actually I know that I am actually the answer to this prayer. Nehemiah knew he was going to be the answer to this prayer. He just wanted the doors to open. He had a vision. Dr. Gutmann had a vision of what could be and what should be. And I pray we will too. Shall we pray? Lord, give us a fresh vision of what could be. What could be for us as individual followers of Jesus, what could be and should be for High Kirk Church. Help us to live out the gospel, to be bearers of good news, to be bearers of hope in a world that is increasingly dark, confused, and lost. Help us, Lord, to do an inventory of our own walls around our souls so that the little foxes and the wolves don't get in. Lord, you are a mighty stronghold. You are building your church. We thank you that as we join with you, there is nothing to fear. We want to be built up as your church to reflect your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together as we close our worship this morning.